Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the Mentally Fit Muslims show, podcast video, wherever you're zooming in, wherever you're tuning in.
Are you struggling with a mental illness? Well, you're not alone. Mentally Fit Muslims is here to provide you with the support you need. We offer an alternative perspective on mental health that is empowering and spiritual. Our website offers exclusive content on how to take care of your mind and heart. You deserve to be healed, and we are here to help you achieve that goal. Visit mentallyfitmuslims.org now for exclusive content on mental health.
Today, I came up, I bumped into a question that was very interesting. It was on the Yaqeen YouTube channel. It was on a video by Dr. Rania Awad. And it was a very interesting question. And she asked that the Prophet, some people say the Prophet ﷺ never sought mental health, never sought therapy. So why should I? And she argues that's simply not true. So this video is based on her video. So I watched it and I'm reflecting on it and I'm summarizing it and I'm kind of debunking it for you. So when you want to watch that video, it is titled, let me look it up for you. It is titled, Prophet Muhammad's Approach to Mental Health, Holistic Healing with Dr. Rania Awad. And it's on the Yaqeen Institute YouTube channel. That question that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, never sought help for mental health can actually hinder some Muslims from getting help. Because they might think that seeking help for mental health challenges is not Islamic. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, actually pioneered the treatment for psychological issues. And I'm going to show you how and why. He actually laid the foundation for psychological matters and issues, and he actually showed sadness and grief at various points in his life. In fact, there was a year in his life that was termed the year of sadness, and that's because the Muslims were boycotted. He lost his wife Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, and he lost his uncle and protector Abu Talib. So that whole year was actually called the year of sadness because he felt so much grief and he felt so alone. And it wasn't only the Prophet, peace be upon him, who went through mental health challenges. In fact, Prophet Yaqub, he lost his son, Yusuf alayhi salam, and he cried so much, so much for decades that his eyes turned white. His eyes turned white, and some scholars even say that he lost his sight over his sadness and his bereavement over his loss of his son. So the Prophet ﷺ, he not only pioneered the treatment for mental health issues, which I'm going to show you how, the different treatments that he had, but he actually started that by firstly acknowledging that mental health issues are real. And that's the first step. You cannot solve a problem unless you acknowledge that they are real. You need to start off by first validating and actually acknowledging their existence. The first tool that we see in the Prophet, peace be upon him, that we see in his life that Islam teaches us is cognitive reframing. You know, as a Muslim suffering with mental health challenges, you might think that, oh, you know, I have depression, I have bipolar, and maybe I don't have a job, I don't have a family, I'm not married, I'm sick, I can't go to school, I'm not like other people, I can't do the things that other people do, and I suffer on a daily basis. But in Islam, suffering is not seen as a setback. It's actually seen as a blessing. It's actually seen as a way that Allah loves you. It's actually seen not as a deep way of pain, but it's actually seen as a deep way of Allah's love for you. So in that way, the pain that you go through is reframed. That picture of pain that you have in your head, you put a different frame around it, and instead of seeing it as pain, it becomes something beautiful. It becomes as a way of drawing closer to Allah. And the more cognitive reframes you can have in your mind, the better. Which means that the more situations where you feel pain, where you have, let's say, depression episodes, or where you feel anxious, and the more situations where you can reframe them, where you can change them, and see that, you know what? Allah's testing me. Allah's testing me, and He wants me to be better, and He actually loves me. Because the prophets were tested the most. That's because Allah loved them the most, not because He hated them. The prophets were the most beloved by Allah, and they were the most tested by Allah. So a test is a sign that Allah loves you. A suffering, a pain is a sign that Allah loves you. And that very point, it removes the stigma around mental health issues, because it shows that when you're suffering, it doesn't mean that you're an outcast. It actually means Allah loves you. So that stigma of that you're tainted, that you're horrible, that you're crazy, that you're this and you're that, no, that just gets thrown out the window, because you're actually a beloved of Allah. You're actually special in the eyes of Allah. There's a hadith that says, how wonderful is the affair of the believer. How wonderful the affair of the believer is. Indeed, all of his affairs are good for him. This is for no one but the believer. If good happens to him, he is grateful to Allah, which is good for him. And if something bad happens to him, he has patience, which is good for him. So everything in Islam is reframed around Allah, and it is Allah focused. You're always, always looking at it through the eyes of that this pleases Allah or this doesn't please Allah. That this is going to draw me closer to Allah or this is not going to draw me closer to Allah. It's not about the thing or the situation that you're going through, but it is Allah-centered. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also used validation as part of therapy and choosing your narrative. So this was seen when he was burying his son Ibrahim, and he said, verily the eyes shed tear and the heart is grieved, but we will not say anything except what is pleasing to our Lord. We are saddened by your departure, O Ibrahim. So this shows that an important part of seeking therapy is to first acknowledge the emotions that you have. Validate them instead of dismissing their existence. By saying things like, it's okay. And then you control the story that you tell yourself in your head. Okay? So that means that you acknowledge the situation, but that doesn't mean you let your tongue and your actions run wild. Just like the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, we're grieved. My heart is grieved. We're sad. But we will not say anything except what is pleasing to our Lord. So these words show that he validated his sadness and he verbalized it. At the same time, he was very vigilant of what he said and he was controlling his words. He also focused on using physical posture as a form of therapy, especially when it came to anger. So he taught us that when you are angry and you're standing, then sit down. And when you are sitting and you are angry, then lie down. So change your position. So this is a physical form of therapy when you are feeling angry. So you can reflect on this and think about, well, when you are not feeling well, you go and exercise. So that's a form of therapy as well. It's a physical way of managing your emotions. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he taught us so many different beautiful ways of managing our emotions and our mental health. He also, peace be upon him, taught us to seek help and seek therapy in living a balanced lifestyle and have healthy eating habits and healthy sleeping habits. There's a narration where Abu Darda, he decided to dedicate his entire life to worship. And the Sahaba Salman said, "Your Lord has a right upon you, yourself has a right upon you, and your family has a right upon you. Fulfill your rights towards each one." And this statement, what he was saying, he actually learned from the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he said it to this companion, Abu Darda, because he was becoming extreme. And he was only focusing on one aspect of his life. So in Islam, we are taught to be balanced and to focus on all the holistic aspect. We are taught to look at the whole part of our life, to focus on every single aspect and not to just become extreme and just focus on one thing. And that's part of mental health. Mental health requires you to look at things holistically, to look at, you know, your social network, your physical well-being, your of course, your mental health, your spiritual health, even your financial health. You're looking at your family, looking at your physical health, like your sleeping habits, your eating habits. So every little thing, every single part has a role to play, and you need to focus on each part. So this one I found really interesting, which was using physical remedies as mental therapy. And Aisha radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with her, she used to diagnose physical, psychological illnesses and made this dish called talbina. And talbina is, this is from the National Library of Medicine. They say talbina is a barley soup cooked with milk and sweetened by honey. And it has the potential to reduce depression and enhance mood among the subjects. Ingestion of functional foods such as talbina may provide a mental health benefit to elderly people. So reading this, I wanna try talbina and see how it helps me. So she used to use these physical remedies, physical, looking at diet to help for mental health. And we know that certain foods are going to boost your mood and they're going to help you, and other foods like junk foods are not going to help you, and they're just going to bring you down and not going to make you feel good. The last thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to use as therapy was the Quran. He taught us that the Quran is a healing, and it gives you peace, and it brings you sukoon to the, it brings sakina to the heart. In fact, in the Quran, it says, the translation of which is, "Those who believe and whose heart find comfort in the remembrance of Allah, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find comfort." So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would stand at night in prayer and he would recite the ayat, and he would pause after each one and he would reflect on its meaning, to draw that comfort, to draw that peace. So we have so many examples of things that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would use as therapy, so many holistic ways of things that he would reach out to for help. So there's no denying, there's no way you can say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never sought a therapist or never got mental health help. He laid the foundation for psychological treatments. He laid the foundation for remedies that we can actually use to this day. And when he would wake up in the morning, he would make the dua, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazn wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-bukhli wal-jubn wa dal'adaini wa ghalabat al-rijal," which means, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from grief and sadness, from weakness and laziness, from miserliness and from cowardice, and from being over debt, from overcome by debt and overpowered by others." So knowing all this, you can't say that Islam doesn't acknowledge mental health. Prophet, peace be upon him, his teachings came as a package, and he showed us how seeking therapy in various forms could be used to treat mental health disorders. I hope you found this video useful. Subscribe to my channel and see you next time. Assalamualaikum.